From pit lane to podium, the Las Vegas Grand Prix is providing fans a race day experience at the speed they deserve. With the help of T-Mobile for Business, our 5G advanced network solutions are powering race day operations with event-wide connectivity. From streamlined gate entry to an immersive app, giving fans blazing fast access to the sport they love. This is accelerating innovation. This is the Las Vegas Grand Prix with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
Canva presents unexplained appearances. It was an ordinary workday until...
That presentation appeared out of thin air.
Also, it's eerily on brand.
Wait, did that agenda just write itself?
Words appear, making this unexplainable case...
Unexplainable? It's Canva's AI tools.
I can generate slides and words in seconds.
Really? The real mystery is why I'm only learning this now.
Canva.com. Designed for work.
I think it's really useful to get in the head of someone who's thinking about how to apply solutions. How about an industrial systems and security around that space? Sagar Govil joins me today, CEO of a company thinking about these issues, and we talk AI and where his head is at on this bonus episode of The Business of Tech. Sagar, thanks for joining me today.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
So I'm going to start with kind of a broad collision of worlds. We're talking a ton of AI on the show, and we're talking a ton of security at the same time. Where do you see these two coming together?
So I think it's a fascinating space right now in terms of what we're seeing. I think, up until really recently, security didn't really benefit from AI and analytics. And I think now we're at a sort of a tipping point where the AI is really smart enough to be really useful. I think there were many times in the past 10 years where there were sort of basic AI tools, but they really weren't being leveraged. And I think we're now reaching a point where you can truly do exciting things with the AIs. And that's an exciting time for the overall industry, I think.
Give me an example of something you're super excited about.
There's things today that excite me, right? So, and then there's things kind of coming down the pipe, right? So today, to be able to drive actionable events based on just intelligent data that, you're seeing on the cameras. So a lot of what we find is many customers have these tools, but they're not actually deploying them because they've always been too difficult to actually set up and monitor. But now, out of the box, being able to detect an intruder is actually pretty easy to set up now, and it's easier than ever before. And so I think you'll start to see more sophisticated security and response in a lot of applications where you had all these tools but they just weren't being used properly, right? And so whether you're detecting an intruder, the intruder's crossing a fence, I want to look for just people and not cars, or I want to look for people and not animals, or so depending on, you can start to segregate all that data leveraging AI. And so that's great about what's happening today. And I think when I look about the future, I mean, just thinking about how something like a ChatGPT interface has changed, sort of the business world or maybe the world itself. I mean, if you think about the specific application of security, to have a sort of co-pilot to help you navigate a situation in real time where you can get data and correspond with, that has sort of situational awareness from all of these different data points, whether it's security feeds or other types of sensors, and being able to kind of aggregate that data and then have certain types of threat response, I think is truly profound when you start to think about the implications.
So you threw out the word tools, and I want to double click a little bit here because, in the world of people that are doing kind of the services of it, they're selecting the tools that go into their arsenal. And when I think of tools, I think about them from calling them a product. I am purchasing products off of the shelf. I'm implementing them in my customer base to use them. And AI doesn't necessarily feel like it's a separate purchase. It feels like it's a feature within those products. How are you thinking about the application of AI here? Is it a feature? Is it I'm buying more stuff? Is it something that I'm layering in? How do you think about the application of AI in that context?
AI is a technology, right? And I think we have to remember You know, ultimately the customers need solutions, right? So today, or you know, in the recent past, you know, manufacturers would provide an AI technology that allows you to do analytics, let's say, on your security cameras, whether they deployed the technology on a server or in the cloud or even on the edge. But many times what would happen is, so a customer would say, okay, I want analytics. This sounds great, right? They would check a box, they would order the product, right? But then what would happen is to set up the analytics would take hours, right? Or that maybe even the person who's responsible for installing it realizes either the accuracy is not there, or there's too many false alarms, so this is a nuisance. And so it starts to be something that was just sort of a check the box, but the practical deployment just really wasn't there. And so a lot of times we would find that customers would buy it, but they just really wouldn't implement it, right? So I think it's really important as we think about AI is that how do you deliver an experience that's natively easy to deploy out of the box and that actually works and is actually from the beginning of the deployment, making your life easier, right? So it cannot be a really complicated thing to set up. And I think that's really what's going to change now is, and I'll give you a perfect example. I don't know if you have an iPhone, but maybe Samsung probably has the same feature. But if you look at, like, let's say your photos, you know, over the last 2 years, you've seen that Apple has basically indexed your photos based on people in the photos themselves, right? So your wife or your kids, it now starts to recognize them. And it's doing this all in the background. Could you imagine if you have 30,000 photos and you have to sit there and tag them all yourself? That, you know, it sounds like a great feature, but it's like nobody has the time for that. So, you know, it's a great, just simple example of how when you leverage the AI to, you know, to operate sort of in the background to do the work, it, you know, you can find immediate applications and utility out of that versus, you know, somebody having to manually figure out how to deploy a type of solution and then realizing that if you don't set it up that way, these things just don't get traction.
Now, a lot of vendors are throwing out that they have an AI or it's become a marketing term, particularly in security. When I look at security tools, everyone's billing their next gen or their AI-driven versions of these. How much do you think that the providers and MSPs are having to dig into understanding what that means? Are they asking questions around what models are being used or how that's being implemented? Like, what are the questions you're asking to understand what's real AI versus what's marketing drivel?
Yeah, also a really important question. I think there's a lot of noise out there. And so you have to be able to kind of, you know, kind of distill it to, you know, break it down into, you know, smaller pieces and really understand the nuances of those kinds of decisions, right? So with respect to security solutions, you know, understanding, you know, things like where's the AI deployed? Is it being deployed on the cloud? Is it being deployed on the edge? Is it being deployed on-prem on a server? And what are the implications of that? What are the implications from a bandwidth perspective? What are the implications from, you know, a latency response time perspective? All of those things are really critical. What is the, you know, upfront cost versus the ongoing operating cost, right? And then ultimately, you want to also understand how your data is being used, right? So, you know, is all of your metadata or your actual data getting stored in a cloud? You know, how secure is that environment? You know, can it be hacked? You know, so there are multiple sort of things that need to be contemplated when you're determining kind of what your approach is going to be, right? And I think from a, you know, MSP or an integrator, you have to kind of think about those kinds of risks profiles in terms of what your customer is trying to accomplish and then how to sort of navigate that. But I think there's a solution for everybody, and it's just a matter of kind of slicing and dicing what those different priorities are.
It's interesting to me that you sort of didn't name either kind of the models that are being used or kind of any of the prompt engineering or guardrails. What's your thinking on how important that is in terms of the selection process?
Over the long term, I think a lot of the algorithms and frameworks start to get commoditized. So I think, you know, generally what you're going to find, or at least this is my opinion, is the different providers are going to be able to differentiate themselves on the data they have access to and less on the algorithm itself. So because then your accuracy and your efficiency is going to be driven more by how much what data you've trained your algorithm on versus somebody else. And so ultimately I see that is kind of where the long-term, you know, things shake out, right? So But ultimately, yeah, it's hard to know. Like if you take, company A's black box algorithm and company B's black box algorithm and understand, what is going to be the accuracy and what is going to be the efficiency of that deployment, right? And so it's very difficult to qualify that out of the gate. And frankly, there's very little sort of objective standards around this too, which I think makes this challenging, right? So, but ultimately, I think there will be sort of a convergence to a certain level of performance data, whether you're performing, your algorithm on the edge or you're performing your algorithm in the server or on a cloud. Ultimately, you're going to convert to sort of a best in class. But a lot of companies are starting with open frameworks anyway. So again, I think it goes back to the data set. I'm not sure there's an easy answer to that, though, either.
I always quip that, in complex problems, in mystery, there is margin. So I like right. complicated problems because they're the ones that are profitable. But at the same time, we do need to start giving some frameworks in order to attack that complexity, so that you're not just flailing around, miserably. So you talk about the value of the data set. Talk to me a little bit about how important that is and what you're using to kind of measure what's a good data set versus a bad one.
If you're an engineer and you're thinking, you've just been hired to build, let's say an object classification data set, right? The first thing you do is you go onto, Stack Overflow, you go onto Reddit, you go onto GitHub, and everybody starts to converge on the same sites and they come to the same answers. And then they find, you can find an open set of, here's 100 hours of video footage that you can chew your data on. But it turns out that, everybody kind of converge on that same data set. And so, everybody's training on the same thing, right? So the tactical approach can, in many cases, result in very similar, developments in terms of how things are built, right? And it's just funny how things like that work. So what I would say is that, companies that build into their business model access to certain data sets that are maybe unique to themselves are going to have a little bit more of a competitive advantage. Right? And I think that's where, you also have issues around privacy and so forth. But, I think you're also starting to see that where, if you see in recent news, I think it was maybe Reddit or maybe it's Quora. One of these companies basically said, we're not going to let OpenAI, crawl all of our data and ingest it into ChatGPT. We need to be paid for this, right? And I think you're also starting to see this where, I think there's going to be a lot of implications where people whose art has been used to train algorithms without their consent or without getting compensated is going to create a whole lot of problems. And I think that situation is yet to play out, but I think it's going to have a pretty unique ramifications for the whole industry. And I'm not sure that there's an easy solution to that. But I think, if you're a company like Quora or Reddit, where, you have a certain amount of data that is within your website or your platform, you have a unique set of data that can be trained and who, whether you give that to Microsoft, or you give that to Google or Facebook, that gives that company a competitive advantage because they have that unique access to that data set, right? So again, that's sort of a broad example, but you can imagine that, if I'm Amazon with Ring or I'm Google with Nest, I have, again, unique data sets around what I'm going to train my security footage on. And so that's, again, it's a unique advantage for them. And it similarly applies, as you go into the enterprise side of the market too, where, those data sets that are unique to each vendor, can have implications for the quality of the product they build, how accurate the models get, and all of those kinds of efficiencies.
Talk to me a little bit about kind of the particular use cases for AI in cyber that you're looking to say, these are the places that it seems to make the most sense to apply.
I think the most obvious opportunity, or not maybe the obvious, maybe the most critical opportunity is being able to see a lot of what we do in security is prior to the event. I mean, sorry, after the event, we're doing forensics, right? And I think a lot of analytics, AI, a lot of the tools we have today are driven around forensics. And so I think what the biggest opportunity in my mind is how do you apply these tools to drive real time, when you're dealing with a situation in real time, how can you prevent things from getting worse and how can you drive the best outcome possible, right? So you have an enormous number of data available to you. And the key is, you know, from a manufacturer's perspective, we want to build tools that, you know, as you're dealing with a threat in real time, how do you, you know, provide the fastest response? How can an AI vastly accelerate the response time and threat mitigation? And I think that's what's possible, you know, using a large language model, using all of the data sets and input sensor data that you have and putting that into a, you know, a large language model and being able to interface with that, I think gives you new avenues for, you know, faster response time and ultimately driving to a better outcome. And then even, you know, even as a deterrent, I think it can be, you know, so like in border security, for instance, you know, you have new technologies where you can detect intruders from further away with more accuracy. And so, you know, rather than even somebody getting to the a fence or a perimeter, you could send a response or deterrent like a drone or something well in advance of somebody even getting close, right, to sort of scare them away. So, I mean, it's a simple example, but, you know, prevention is equally critical. I mean, you can imagine that as quicker as a response as you can determine, you know, generate immediately with gunshot detections and things like that, and whether there's an automated response or notification to police officers and being able to provide that situational awareness more quickly, more readily, and more accurately, I mean, I think it can only help save lives. And that's really where similar examples of how AI can be used to provide better outcomes.
Well, that gives us a bunch of space that we could potentially work on. If people are interested in learning more and getting in touch, what's the best way to do that?
Yeah, so Semtrex's security business is called Vicon Industries, and our website is vicon-security.com. And so that's the best place to learn more about our technology and our solutions as it pertains to security.
Awesome. Appreciate you joining me today.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
The Business of Tech is written and produced by me, Dave Sobel, under ethics guidelines posted at businessof.tech. Like the content? Support the show at patreon.com/MSPradio or buy our Why Do We Care merch at businessof.tech. If you want to reach our listeners, visit mspradio.com/engage.
Part of the MSP Radio Network.
From a flat tire in the city to a dead battery on a distant drive, AAA is partnering with T-Mobile for Business to accelerate response times and get more drivers back on the road fast. Our nationwide connectivity powers location telematics, so AAA's fleet can find stranded drivers quickly while being fully equipped with the in-vehicle tools to have answers when they get there. This is elevating the member experience. This is AAA with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.